Go ahead and take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, continuing our series. And as you're turning there, just something. How many of you would say that I have to fight sometime my thought processes in church? Sometimes they drift from what is going on, and my focus sometimes shifts from what I'm supposed to be focusing on. How many of you struggle with that sometime? Struggle with that? This might help you answer that question. What if I was to call on you right now? Okay, and I said, Jason. Or I said, Jason. or I said, Jaden. I want you to give me three things, okay, about the Schertzer family that we need to be praying for. I wonder if we'd be able to draw that from memory. I wonder if I was just to ask you, what was the name of the missionaries that were talked about? Would you be able to tell me? Okay, that's not a gotcha moment. Maybe it is for you, but it's just something to say that this time is not just so Ethan can get up, or Jamie, or Bennett, or somebody else, Michael, and get up and read the missions letter just so we can hear their lovely voices. Okay, and they are lovely. Okay. All right, no, that's not the purpose. The purpose is so we, as believers, as Christians who ought to be concerned with the gospel, the Great Commission, can be educated as to what our missionaries are doing. So I invite all of you, I encourage all of you, are there going to be distractions? Sure there are, okay? But do your best to focus in when we have the missions time, okay? How many of you understand what I'm talking about this morning? Shake your head if you understand what I'm talking about. Okay, all right. So let's just saw a few things going on during that time, and I don't want us to miss some important things. Okay, hopefully you're in Proverbs, and chapter 3. And these two verses go hand in hand with what we've been talking about concerning the will of God. Notice with me Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. See what it says here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Talking about the will of God this morning, let's go ahead and ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would direct our thoughts towards you today. Lord, I pray that we'd be disciplined enough to lock in on you and, Lord, not be distracted. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn something from your word. Lord, as we look at these biblical illustrations of people, Father, who have been concerned to follow you, I pray that we would do the same. Lord, we love you. We want to make good use of our time. Pray that you'd help us to do that. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like a step-by-step guide, a process, when I look at accomplishing a certain thing. Maybe you're the type that says, you know, I see the end, and I want to just kind of figure out my own way how to get there. You know, us guys can be this way sometimes when we're putting something together. You know, who needs the instruction manual, right? I can do this on my own. I can't tell you how many times I've put something together backwards or upside down because I just disregarded the manual. Sometimes we can be that way, but there are other things that I'm like, look, I in order to be effective, I don't want to waste time. Give me the step by step in order to get there. I was reading an article this week. And it was entitled "The Secret Formula to Becoming an Elite Athlete," and sounds like a good article, right? It was written by someone who had participated in the Olympics, and I just sum this up basically to three things that they said. Now, number one was deliberate practice. They're talking about the work. That's basically the work that's involved in becoming an elite athlete. You have to put the work in. No matter how gruesome, no matter how straining it is, the work's got to be there, okay? So deliberate practice. The other thing was deliberate play. And this is the fun. This would be the fun side of things. You know, training, doing the same thing over and over again, sometimes takes the fun out of a sport. You've got to have an outlet to play, and that's where we do our scrimmages or our pickup games or our actual games. They say that one of the biggest causes for people not continuing in a certain sport or totally withdrawing themselves from sports is because it's not fun anymore. And maybe you've had something like that before where you've experienced that. But the first thing, deliberate practice, deliberate play. And then the other thing they mentioned, which was I thought, okay, we're on track here. I'm following their line of thinking. Then they said this, luck. What? Three steps to becoming an elite athlete is number one, deliberate play or deliberate practice and then play and then luck? And they went on to describe how the opportunities that were given them, you have to have luck along the way. Okay, that does not resonate with me. I want something that's hard, that's nailed down, that I can look at and say, okay, here's the plan. Well, you know what? The Lord gives us a plan for determining His will, some of which we've already looked at. We've been sort of abiding in that general will of God. What are those things? And how that's linked to our obedience. Okay, so we've seen those principles. Now I want us to look at a couple of biblical illustrations of that, where people actually operated within that realm. First of all, I want us to notice 2 Kings chapter 5. Turn with me there, 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want to show you how our thinking so often determines our outcome. How our thinking so many times determines our outcome. Second Kings chapter 5. Get a little context of this story here. We're going to start in verse 1. Hopefully you found it there. If you don't have a Bible, look on with somebody who does. That way you can be involved in what's going on. 2 Kings chapter 5. Notice here what the Bible says. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Sounds like a good thing, right? Verse 4, "And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel. The king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed," and so forth and so on. All right, go ahead and drop down to verse 8. Notice here, "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha." All right, now, what is Naaman's problem? Naaman has a problem. Okay, what is Naaman's issue? Oh, just say it. Oh, well, okay, pride, yes, all right, which we're getting there. But leprosy is his issue, okay? So here, he has an issue, and he's going to try to seek help regarding that issue. Okay, follow him with me. Okay, notice what it says, verse 10, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Okay, now I want you to notice this. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought." That's the mistake you and I make sometimes. "He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." And then he goes on, verse 13, "And a servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it?" Here's my point, okay? Naaman has an issue, okay? Sometimes you and I have issues. Sometimes those issues cause us and should cause us to say, all right, here's the issue. Lord, how should I respond? Lord, how can I follow and be in your will concerning this issue? Okay, I want you to think about your greatest issue right now. Think about it. Okay, let that enter your mind. What is that thing that is on your mind, and you're asking yourself this question, what is that thing that captivates my thinking? Okay, so you've got that issue. Now you need to ask yourself the question, okay, what is the Lord's will in regards to me and this issue? Okay, so that's the question. Okay, and so now that we've defined that, now we look back to the principles that we've been looking at, which is the principle is we operate in obedience, therefore allowing us to be in God's will. Now, for Naaman, what was obedience in regards to this issue? What was obedience for him? Somebody here. Let's see here. Ethan? Right. Okay. It was clear, was it not? Do you think there was any confusion here as to what he was supposed to do? No. No. In fact, I mean, this is the type of solution that everybody would want in terms of having something hard nailed down. You ever been there before? Look, I just want to know what to do. Oh boy, when we know what to do, there's a peace that comes over us because we know what actions to take. Naaman has that, but there's a barrier between him and obedience, right? There's a barrier there. And his barrier was basically this. I thought I was supposed to do something greater. He looked at it and said, that's too easy. You know, how can I just go and do this and then all of a sudden I'm going to be made whole. I'm going to be made clean again. Okay? You and I have to think the exact same thing. We have to say, okay, here's my issue. What does God want me to do in regards to being obedient? Okay? Because if it falls in regards to some of the things that we've looked at already, talking about authority, talking about being filled with the Spirit, talking about, hey, how does this go along with what God has already told me about my life? Okay? And you know what I find? A lot of the times, that clears up most issues. It really does. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that those issues become easy to deal with, because many times we have to have the courage to make decisions in regards to those things. But we certainly have to protect ourselves and guard ourselves against an attitude that says, well, hey, that's too easy to do. You know what? Following the will of God is not a destination. It's daily. Okay, I want you to remember that. Okay, that the will of God is not something that it's off in the distance, it's elusive, I think I can see it, it's somewhere over there, and I'm working towards that. That's not the will of God. Now, there are goals that we're working towards. You may have that thing, I want to figure out what God wants me to do with my life, and I want to, well, those are things that are, yes, that the Lord is going to lead you towards, but living in the will of God, operating within the will of God is where am I right now? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I seeking Him? Naaman had a hard time with that. He had some barriers that kept him from doing that. And I challenge us this morning not to allow that to take place in our own lives. Let me show you a positive response that we see in Scripture. That would be more of a negative. Naaman had some struggles there. He eventually ended up following the Lord in obedience. But notice with me Genesis 24. Go back to Genesis 24. I don't know about you, but when it comes to looking at how other people have adjusted in their own lives to following the will of God, it encourages me in my own life. Genesis chapter 24. Get a little bit of context here. Notice in verse 1, and Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord of God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. The servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. And then the next few verses that follow are about the journey of Abraham's servant to find his son a wife. But I want you to notice this, because everything begins to come together later on in the chapter. And I want you to see here in notice verse 27. Okay, notice verse 27. Everything begins to come together. He finds a wife for Isaac, and he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Notice verse 48. Jump ahead, verse 48. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my brother's daughter unto his son. Okay, so here you have a situation in which Abraham's servant is following in obedience the direction that he knows to go. Daily, he's following what Abraham told him to do. He's walking according to that set of guidelines that Abraham gave him in regards to finding a wife for Isaac, and he walks in that way. And as he does that, the Lord then brings a wife for Isaac in just a miraculous way, and the details of that story are really neat to delve into. We don't have the time this morning, but again, the servant said, hey, I being in that way, walking that path, the Lord led me, okay? And this is how the Lord leads, when we're walking in obedience, and that's something over and over again we've seen. Hey, can I challenge you this morning that when you have an opportunity or the Lord brings an opportunity your direction, okay, can I challenge you not to make a decision based out of fear or pride, something of that nature? You know, you see that in the life of Naaman, but, you know, I think about one of the first opportunities I had to serve in a ministry at church. How many of you have helped in Tiny Tots before? Helped in Tiny Tots. Okay. All right. Good number of you in here. Okay. You know, I hope you see that as your ministry. That really is something that can impact really future generation. You're dealing with kids. In some cases, you're dealing with my kids. Okay. And I'm very grateful for that. Your testimony in that room means a lot to me. It does. And it's a ministry that you've got. I remember one of the first ministry opportunities I had in when I was growing up, and when I was in maybe about seventh grade or so, and I wrote about this in our devotionals recently, if you keep up with those, but I was asked to play the piano for children's church. Now, let me just tell you this. Piano, it's one of those things, all right, that I don't really like to do. How many of you have those things that you do, but you don't really like to do them? Okay, how many of you? Okay, piano is that for me. You say, Brother Scott, how do you get up and sing? Well, I enjoy singing. I really do, okay? Piano is just kind of that thing that I can do but can't do well, and I get asked to do it, and I don't know why, but that's just where I'm at. So I had taken lessons, and so they said, hey, we need somebody to play for children's church, okay? Now, maybe your perception of me is Brother Scott has no fear for public speaking or has never been nervous in his life. That is quite the opposite, let me tell you, okay? I was probably the most fearful teenager in all of the youth group in regards to getting up and doing things in front of people, okay? That is not an exaggeration. And when somebody came and asked me and said, hey, will you play the piano for children's church? Immediately what popped into my mind was how big that room was and how many people were in it. I thought, man, okay, you've got the bus ministry that runs, they bring in like 200, then you've got all the church kids, and then you've got the adult workers that are there, and then you've got the teen workers that are, oh, that's great, you know. And I just, all of a sudden, I'm filling my mind with all of these things, and I was not going to do it. I decided in myself, I was just going to say, you know what, I don't really think I'm ready for that. We have a nice way of saying things sometimes. We're pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? We can be pretty stealthy in regards to evading some situations. And so I was going to frame it just right. And I was going to say, you know, I think the Lord's will right now is for me to just, you know, be quiet and sit. You know, I was going to take that approach. And, you know, I sat down with my dad and we talked through it. And he could tell that I was fearful. He could tell that I was not making a decision based in right things. And so he simply said this. He said, Scott, do not be afraid to do something that the Lord is bringing your way. Don't be afraid to do it. And, you know, I came out of that time, and not that I had a renewed zeal and confidence in my own ability, but I did know this, that even though I wasn't comfortable, even though it wasn't my favorite thing to do, it was still filling a need that I had the ability to meet. And so I began playing. And you know what I found? I found that the first Sunday wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And then I would do it until we would leave for college or whatever. But my point is this. The Lord used that in my life, that opportunity that He brought along, His will for me, in order to put me on a path and keep me on a path following Him. And I would simply say this, you and I are faced with decisions like that occasionally, but maybe even sometimes every week. We've got smaller decisions that we need to make. The thing that I need to be concerned with is, number one, where does this fall in regards to just being obedience? And number two, am I not going to do this because I'm fearful or prideful or another fleshly thing? Okay? I love the saying, God's will will not lead you where His grace will not keep you. And that's true. You and I may not think that we're able to do certain things, but the Lord will never give us more than we can handle with His help. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the biblical illustrations that we see in Scripture. Lord, Naaman struggled with doing the right thing, even though it was clear. I pray, God, that we would not struggle. Pray, Lord, if there's something, that area, Lord, that has given us grief, that area, Father, of trouble in our life, that issue, no matter whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we would ask ourselves the question this morning, Lord, what do You want us to do? What have You already told us to do in Your Word? And Lord, help us to follow in obedience, understanding, Lord, that as we do that, You will continue to lead us, Father, as we abide in Your will, and as we seek Your will for future things. Lord, help us to be bold and zealous for You. Help us to not be controlled by fear or our nervousness, Lord, but help us to always say yes when You bring us opportunities to serve You. Bless these teenagers, Lord. Speak to our hearts in the morning service. We ask these things in Your name. Amen.